welcome to the Rookie Pastor Podcast. My name is Eric Mavitt, and I am the pastor of Baylor Presbyterian Church and your host. I am glad to bring the conversation I had with Michael Preston to you today. There's two parts of this conversation. It was an incredibly encouraging and, I think, practical conversation. Michael is the founder of Mississippi Counseling Associates, and in our conversation, we get into a lot of counseling talk, and so we talk about counseling under the coronavirus and the adjustments Michael's had to make to his practice, and what it's like to switch to counseling entirely through video, and what the and also the impact of the oddity of having the counselor and the client going through the same crisis at the same time. We talk about the effect that the pandemic is having on our emotions as a whole, and how it's kind of just exacerbating everything that was already stressing us out, and the problems that can cause. We also talk about grieving in this time and why that's important. We talk about depression, and we start to get into some of the practical steps that you can take to help yourself process these emotions and things that maybe you just haven't been feeling, and you just feel like everything's out of control and you're going crazy. So this is a great conversation. Make sure you listen to the end and come back for part two as well. And so without further ado, we'll take you into the conversation. Thanks for listening. Michael Preston, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here.
So haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yeah, so, and probably won't see you for a long time, so.
Yeah, I'm not seeing much of anybody these days.
Not in person, anyways.
No, yeah.
So, well, I am very excited to have you on the podcast because, one, I love counselors, and I love counseling itself. It's been a benefit in my life, and so I'm excited to have you on because we're in a crisis. And so
we are.
So the heightened anxiety, heightened tensions. But before we get into all of that, we're going to talk about different things. Would you just introduce? I mean, I already said you're Michael Preston, but could you introduce us to your counseling practice and what you do, where you're located, what you guys do over there?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a licensed professional counselor. I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I have a practice called Mississippi Counseling Associates. There's three counselors there, and I practice out of Highland Village in Jackson, and I also travel once a week to Meridian to offer counseling to I think a community that's pretty used to, for certain things, having to drive all the way to Jackson. In order to save people turning a one-hour a week session into a three-hour ordeal, I drive over there once a week on Tuesdays and see clients in Meridian, which limits the number of people I can see while I'm there, but as a way to be a useful resource in that area.
So, how have you had to adjust your practice since the coronavirus and the lockdown or the shelter at home orders have come in?
We started, we closed our office before any of those mandates came in. But it was a wild thing. I mean, it went from like seeing clients in the office one week, and then on a Friday, where we don't normally see a lot of clients on Friday, having a discussion with our team, just saying, hey, what are we going to do? One of them is, currently pregnant. She was like, I don't want to be seeing anybody. And so we had to build a whole new platform for us to be able to see our clients. And then, it's actually bigger even than just switching. The Mississippi state laws had to change in order to allow us to do this. And they did, they came in, they did, and the insurance had to change so that they would cover this. It was quite a touch and go situation.
Wow.
I was in contact with a lot of therapists at a lot of different practices. Just really in, kind of what do we do mode. So we had to, figure out what video system we're using. We had to figure out how to take payments suddenly. We had to figure out how to send paperwork because we have to do things. We still have to abide by HIPAA, right? So I had to create PDFs that I could then send to people, and they could sign them online, and we could sign them online. So it was kind of a mess, honestly.
Wow.
But we did it. You know, it took the weekend, and then by Monday we had to be rolling and ready. So it was a whirlwind, and it felt like kind of setting up a whole new business. But we got it done. We have a really great team, and Monday, it was Monday, late March, so the 20th around that, if that was Monday. That week we started seeing people online 100%, and we've been here since.
Yeah, it was kind of that weekend of the 15th is like when everything changed.
It really got wild, actually. I remember I flew back from the UK on the 18th.
Yeah.
I was in the UK for the 2 weeks preceding all of this.
Okay.
So that was a little wild.
You go a long ways for your clients, my friend.
You know, that was for my clients in one way. I mean, that was a 2 week vacation for me and my wife. And that was a space where I got to recharge. And that's what's helped me have a lot of energy for my clients.
Where'd you go in the UK?
We went off to Scotland.
Oh, cool.
That was our first stop. We spent several days hiking through just a beautiful area called the West Highland Way through just north of Glasgow. And then we spent the rest of our time in South London, just outside central London.
Well, you got it in just in time before everything shut down.
It was getting a little worrisome, but we didn't have any issues. So that was good.
Yeah. I vacationed in London once for 16 hours. A very long layover.
Yeah, that's a long layover.
Yeah. So, that's cool. That's cool. As we get into, so presumably you're probably still pretty busy then.
Well, it was kind of weird. So the first week, I think people have been pretty hesitant to jump on the video thing.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that. I've never offered it because I was hesitant to jump on the video thing. Right.
Right.
And then, so we have hesitancy, but we also have availability. How do you find a room in your house for a full hour without a kid running in and out and making noise? And, even 5 minutes ago, like the floor just kind of shook a little bit, and immediately my brain goes to like, who just dropped a bowling ball in my house? Right.
Yeah.
It can be difficult even to just stay focused, even if you have a space, just to stay present in that room.
Well, I as speaking as one who is currently recording in my son's bedroom with six children running around the house. They had a squirt gun fight earlier when I was in the back patio, nearly like dousing my computer. Like I'm just
this is a whole different kind of deal. Absolutely. So the very first week, my normal is usually about 22 to 25 people a week. And the first week, even though I had, I think, 22 sessions scheduled, I think I saw 10.
Yeah.
10 people. Because it's just, we were all in the beginning stages of figuring out how to exist in this new normal and worrying and thinking, some of us were thinking, well, in 2 weeks we'll be back, so let's just push it. This week I've got about 18 people lined up. Mm-hmm. Some of those are people that are realizing we're going to be in this a little bit longer than we thought. And so kind of really adjusting to seeing this as a new temporary normal, but definitely a norm we have to get used to.
Now, how is it though? It's because like counseling is such a, it's so personal, mm-hmm. and it's so much about, it's not just what they're saying. It's their body mm-hmm. language. It's, and all you're seeing is like face, and just, so how is it, I guess two things is how is that add to the challenges of counseling effectively, but then also how does that work with or how is it just not being a counselor and not physically seeing people?
Yeah, it's weird. I'll start there. It's just weird. And any counselor that tells you different, just they're not being honest, I don't think. Because there is a lot I can tell by what your hands are doing. Right. If you're sitting here telling me a story and you're wringing your hands while telling me that, that's telling me something. But I can't see your hands right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what your hands are doing.
They're doing this the entire time.
I can't
time.
Read that.
jazz hands all the time. So.
Yeah, they never stop doing the jazz.
Yeah, this,
hands.
Yeah.
Stuck.
Yeah, that's why I keep them off screen. They're distracting.
So that is a big deterrent, right? And I found that I have to probably stay more engaged, and I have to stay more focused, and I have to interrupt my clients a good bit more. Because I want to make sure that I'm tracking with them. I want to make sure that I'm picking that up right, right? So where I could normally assume that I'm on the right track, go a little bit longer, and then kind of reflect back and make sure that I'm hearing that correctly. I'm doing that a little bit more now. I'm a little more actively involved in, as far as checking in emotionally, right? Hey, I think this is what I hear you saying. I imagine you might feel something like this, but help me if I'm wrong. And I'll do that a good bit more right now, because there are some nuances that I'm missing, and yeah, so it's created that kind of a challenge, and but it makes me be more intentional about checking in with the client and making sure that I'm on the right track.
Yeah. The I want to move into kind of move the discussion into how do we. We're kind of backing out, look at the situation generally, and just and talking about we're in this crisis mode, sheltered home orders, people who are not homeschooling are now homeschooling, people are who are not used to being at home a lot are home a lot, and so you have a general sense of kind of fear and anxiety. There's all kinds of frustrations for people who feel like this is a maybe perhaps an overreaction. There's people who are freaked out because they don't feel like there's enough reaction. You know, people are freaked out because they're afraid they're going to die, or their loved ones are going to get sick. And so, then you just have all the other tensions of, I mean, there's issues of where people have to stay at home with abusive spouses or parents, or I guess, I mean, it's a whole wad of kind of, stuff to deal with. So I guess from
and a counselor.
Yeah, so I guess, I mean, this is kind of like just upending everybody's lives. So what, people are losing jobs. So it's just all these things. So as much as you can, speaking generally, what would you say people can expect to deal with? Because a lot of times we're reactive before we realize that, oh, I'm really kind of going off here. Like we tend to feel justified in our emotions and how we're reacting. So how do we, what can people expect to deal with when they're trapped at home with all these things? What are the common feelings or emotions or things that rise up, or like red flags that people should watch out for to say, hey, there's something unhealthy that's developing here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things about this whole thing is normally my job is to enter into these kind of spaces with people, whether someone's come to my office because they have just lost a job. Someone's coming to my office because their parent has just died. Normally, it's one of those things. Sometimes, you know, it's really a cluster. You know, the year has been really difficult on somebody.
Yeah.
But the very interesting thing about this piece is it's not something my clients are bringing to me for me to walk through with them. It's actually been thrust on the counselors as well. And it's, I don't know of another situation where suddenly we are doing counseling in a world and we are very much in and affected the exact same thing affecting our clients. So I think that's really interesting piece of what's happening right now is that what people are going through, I'm going through. I've got my kids at home. My wife is working from home. I've got parents that have my grandfather. He is and he's in his 80s and he's already had sepsis and other health issues. So we're constantly concerned about him. How is he doing? He's okay right now, but there's this constant fear. I've got siblings all over the place. And there's a worry. I've got a sister that, my sister-in-law lives in New York City and we were very worried about her. And so there's this constant feeling of, okay, what is she doing? Is she okay? Is she feeling all right? man, I really hope she's not going out. And so there's this constant spinning in your head about what each member of your family that you care deeply about is doing today. And then each family, as diverse as they usually are, tends to have at least somebody on all ends of that spectrum, right? You've got the people in your own family that are going, this is not reality. We need to get out there. And that's going to spike your anxiety. Yeah. I think for me, so to speak from a personal space on this, because as I said, this is what we are going through as a group of people, not just our clients bringing this to us. It's been a hard adjustment. It's been very difficult in terms of just constantly being at the beck and call of three kids, six and under. You know, I've got down to a 1 year old. I talked a lot with my wife about that. Like, man, I know at least there were these moments. My office is like 2 miles from my house, right? Mm-hmm. But I could get in my car, and there was like this hat changing process I would do, and I'm not even aware that I was doing it, right? Because it's only 2 miles. But somehow between my office and my house, I had this hat changing ceremony that was unspoken and unknown that allowed me to move from work into the house. It's really hard to get that when you open the door to the office and it's the house.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's a really weird feeling because it's like, I don't have that chance to just take a deep breath, decompress a little bit and move in. And I imagine a lot of people are feeling like they're never getting a break.
Yeah. Well, you talk about like how it's the joke about like, let's play the game, what day it is, you know, what day is it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've thankfully, you know, every day I have to log onto a calendar to see who I'm seeing that day. So that keeps me on what day it is, but I keep forgetting like, is it March? Is it April? I can't keep it. I'm like, man, we should start buying Christmas presents, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know when we are. But I think, I think that's one big shift I think we're feeling is that this oversense, overwhelmed by the idea that we never get a break.
Yeah.
Not even a short one right now. And it's exhausting. I feel exhausted at the end of the day. I feel when those kids go to sleep, it's like every part of my body gets heavier and is saying, you need to go to bed now. But I got other stuff I got to do. I got to
yeah.
go with the dishes. I got to fold the laundry. Like this is now I get a moment to do all the other things that I didn't get to do because the kids are always there or I'm at work.
Or you know? talk to my spouse.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
Without
about
getting
what
interrupted.
We need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's a big piece of it is that we are definitely going to feel overwhelmed and exhausted by all of this. I think that one big feeling, we feel is grief through all of this. Mm-hmm. Grieving is really defined by the loss of anything, right? And so I think one of the things that we're grieving right now is the loss of our old normalcy, right? That we could predict what the day was going to look like to some extent.
Yeah.
We could predict what tomorrow would look like. Right?
Yeah.
Generally speaking, my healthy friends would probably be healthy tomorrow.
Right.
And that's kind of been taken away from us.
Yes.
Right? And so with grief, we have all kinds of emotions surface, right? We have depression can surface. We can get really sad that we don't know what's going to happen. We can get really angry. We begin to shut down. I think that one particular person I was talking with about their sense and ability to be helpful to others was taken away, right? Because we're stuck. We can't go help. I can't go to my neighbors to help them right now. I can't physically show up for other people. And if you are a helper right now where you love to physically show up for people, that's been taken from you. And that's a big part of who you are. So we can lose a sense of even who we are. And so I imagine that right now there is no emotion off the table. If you came to my office and said, I'm feeling this because of this, I would say, yep, probably.
Yeah.
Right? This thing is just a gamut of feeling.
Yeah. And I was just on the phone today with, because, you know, we had the 13 tornadoes that came between Louisiana and Mississippi, southern Mississippi last night and yesterday. And I was talking with a guy in one city that got hit pretty hard in Louisiana. And so he's you know, he's in the midst of. So I'm talking with our disaster response coordinator, our denominational one, and she's trying to get stuff prepped because there's stuff in North Georgia, the stuff in the Carolinas. I mean, it's hitting all kinds of states. And so, but then when so we were talking about how do we organize a disaster response in the midst of shelter at home orders.
Yeah.
And so what it means is we cannot send outside teams of individuals to come. It has to be all locally sourced. You're allowed to send, you know, somebody to drive supplies in. You can do that.
Okay.
So you can drive, you can drop off an equipment trailer with chainsaws to cut trees and stuff like that. So that's what we're in the process of doing is locating and sending equipment trailer. Mm-hmm. And we got a guy who's on the ground who's, trying to drum up some local volunteers, but they're going to put on their masks and going to go help. But,
and it's all got to be local. It's hard to get that because people are scared.
There's that too.
They're scared. They're scared of being outside.
Yep.
And I think that's huge because we in the last 30 or 40 years, we've never had a real reason to be afraid of outside.
Yes.
Of the grocery store.
Yeah.
Of the these or the that, right? Probably polio was a scare like that, right? Mm-hmm. It got really difficult sometimes during the year. And we have been very blessed, I'll say, to never have experienced that. And yet we're being thrusted into that right now, that being outside, and I don't mean in the sunshine and all that, just in your front yard. I just mean going out and doing normal life. It doesn't have the same sense of security anymore.
But there's a sense of there's two senses of that I was thinking of, which is one, there's a sense of that in how for a lot of people there is a fear of going outside.
Yeah.
Of just
stepping
like,
out the front door.
Yeah, of even going out there and not even like they're not actually agoraphobic. But they're just like,
they're feeling that way now.
Yeah, shelter at home. We're not going outside. We're not, you know, or in my neighborhood, like we have six kids across the street and the neighbor across the street. We have six kids.
Mm-hmm.
Our house, we live in a cul-de-sac. There's like in 30 seconds, there's 20 kids in a cul-de-sac. So like we can't let our kids go out front. And so we like, you can go in the backyard. Or you can go in the house, or you can go to the front yard, but you can't go out into the street. Like, you cannot touch the neighbors.
Right.
And, you know, and it's, you know, it, trying to help our kids work through
navigate
that as well.
That.
And, yep. And
they don't understand.
They don't understand. They're more kind of just annoyed and frustrated by it. Kind of, they kind
and
of understand.
Anything like my kids, they're kind of tired of only seeing each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point, they're just like, I need another kid to play with.
Well, yeah. And well, I was talking to one of my friends, actually said, he was on the podcast earlier and he said their kids, they told them, you don't have to go back to school for the rest of March. And they were like, yay. But then they said, you don't have to go back to school for April. You can't go back to school. They've canceled it. And they started to cry.
Yeah.
Because they were just like, they missed their friends. They missed, you know, and so. I think that piece on the loss of routine is really big because that's one of those silent things that I think we don't think about a lot. It's that idea. You see it a lot of times where somebody retires from a job or they get let go from a job and that routine of being expected to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Having and that people are waiting for you to get there. Mm-hmm. Just that very sense. And then all of a sudden that's not there. In fact, they're saying, no, don't come. Don't just stay at home. And maybe it's ameliorated a bit by some folks who have a job where you can do work from home.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that experience. And then there's the people who, 17 million people who have lost their jobs so far.
Right. Yeah. Having a routine, having a place to show up, having a, really it's the, you know, just having something to do with our hands.
Yeah.
And I saw this, a few years ago for the guys that, have lost jobs since 2008. It's been difficult to recover. And so they've done long stints of unemployment, you know, 2 years, 3 years, right? And just found that they were depressed. They were just, they had lost that sense of who they are, what they were doing, because so much of having a sense of belonging, having a sense of purpose involves with going to work, whether we're working with our hands, whether we're working with our head, it is good for our soul to work.
Yeah. So if you have, I want to talk through, so you've got this kind of general sense, and like you said, it's this wide swath. I mean, it's just, you can't even really, we would spend all day cataloging, you know, trying to catalog all the different things you could feel. Yeah. So I guess is some advice that you can offer about two people about how do they process through this stuff? How do you even recognize when you're feeling this way? Is it when you have a fight with your spouse, when you break something out of anger, or is it like you have a moment of acting out where there's something, an unusual pattern of behavior emerges and you stop and go, whoa, I went too far, whether it's too down or too hot in my anger or too low in my depression, I realize something weird's here, or how do people even identify that? Cause that can be hard.
Yeah. And you know what, just to kind of validate all that, we're seeing a lot of different things, right? We're seeing a lot of, people that would normally not be a hothead kind of find these moments where they're just like, they're bursting at the seams with just being upset or angry. And I think the big part about this is, remember, we have never been here before.
Yes. Right?
We've never been here before. And so if you are experiencing things that are outside your normal behavior range, your normal emotional range, the first thing I would do is say, let's give ourselves a lot of grace. We aren't going to make it through this thing well if we aren't able to give ourselves grace and our kids grace and our spouses grace, because none of us have been here before. None of us have had to do this before. And so without that steady flow of, hey, we're all learning, we're all trying to do this, we're all doing our best here, then it's going to get even more and more difficult. So the first thing I would say is, if you're having a really hard time, particularly right now, and you're finding yourself kind of at your wit's end, just take a deep breath and just remind yourself you've never been here before and that you're not alone, and give yourself a big heap of grace to not know how to respond to this. That would be my first and biggest helpful piece about this thing.
Okay.
The other thing I would say is, if you are struggling, if your lows are getting lower by the day and you're noticing it, if you're getting up later, if you're sleeping more, if you run out of house projects to distract yourself, right? And you find yourself unmotivated, you find yourself not being able to respond to your kids on a increasingly more difficult basis daily, and you're just tired of feeling trapped, right? Then that would be a really good time to reach out and say, hey, you know what? Maybe counseling won't be a thing for me after this, but if I'm going to get through this with a relative sense of my own sense of self, then maybe I just need to talk to somebody about how I'm feeling and what's going on, and have a voice to remind me that this is not the norm, and it won't always be our norm, and no one knows how to appropriately get through this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so would it be helpful to, I know everybody's different. So, but I mean, some things are, sometimes I've found it helpful when I'm just, I've just done a variety of things, but when I get super, I don't know, kind of, I'm so kind of just spinning because I'm so overwhelmed and I don't know where to start or why. I would just sit down and just start writing and just write until I couldn't write anymore. Cause eventually I would start with just the plain emotion I was feeling. I'm feeling irritated and angry and everyone's stupid and just keep going until I just kind of dumped it all on the page. And I usually found out by the time I got to the end, I kind of got somewhere a little bit further, at least into that. I found actually since I got married that, I mean, my wife is usually pretty good about wanting to listen to that and to kind of help me work through some things. Mm-hmm. When I'll kind of do that with her. I'll tell her, you know, that I feel angry or upset or whatever, or I don't like this or that, and kind of go off a bit on just kind of why I'm upset and angry and how I feel just dumb for saying any of it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel irrational and emotional, blah, blah. And that she really, you know, she's able to just listen and just be like, okay, that's you know, that's, and it's really just that act of listening. I mean, I don't know. I'm just throwing some things out there that just kind of like maybe some things that would be some helpful practices for people to do at home. I mean, I love counseling, and we're going to talk about, you know, reaching out to a counselor and why that's valuable. But even in the meantime, are there things like that that people can do, or?
Yeah. So if I was smart, I would have bought stock in sidewalk chalk before this thing started. Look, coloring right now, go outside, sit in the sunshine. When it's a sunny day, definitely go get sunshine. Sunshine is completely safe, right? It's safe to go outside. It's actually really safe to go outside. And we want to practice deep breathing and just coloring or journaling, like you said. These are activities that highlight both sides of our brain. And mm-hmm. it helps connect our experiential side of our brain, which is just trying to deal with what we're seeing and dealing with on a daily basis.
Yeah.
But the act of painting, coloring, or writing highlight both sides of our brain. And what the beauty of that will be for this situation is it connects that experiential brain with our meaning maker brain. Mm-hmm. And so if we're not doing something like that, if we're not slowing down for some time, we're just going to be flooded with a lot of experiences that we don't know how to categorize, right? Helping our brain slow down and get these two connected and have a meaning begin to attach to these things and an understanding around them, so I understand even what's happening inside my own self.
Yeah.
That's going to help us kind of calm our systems down, because it's even more panicky in ourself when we don't have an understanding of what's happening. Right.
Right.
So if you're just feeling anxious all the time, I would venture to take a guess that what you're feeling is all underneath it. And right now they're all cranked up to 100% volume, but you don't know what any of them are. And when it gets that way, it just comes out as panic and anxiety.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, you know, that, that stress relief thing where you squeeze it and the eyes pop out.
Yeah. It's kind of like that right now.
It's kind of like whatever's in there is in there. Mm-hmm. And then the stress, you just kind of, it's just you getting squeezed and whatever's inside just pops out.
Right. Exactly. And it pops out as panic and anxiety. But until you do slow that thing down and take time. And again, if you're sitting in the sun, coloring on sidewalk chalk and just being aware of what you're feeling and beginning to name them.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, that's fear. I do feel afraid right now. This is a scary time. Man, that's exhaustion coming up. Okay.
And also you could do, like getting on the tractor or.
Yeah. If you have a tractor.
Like, doing projects with your hands. Like, and you could still be thinking through this stuff, naming it while you're doing that. You can still be thinking, man, just, I'm feeling afraid. I'm feeling, you're trying to, like you said, name them. And
if you've got the space to walk.
Yeah.
Walk. Right. Mm-hmm. Do a walk and talk about it with your spouse. We've been doing some talks with our kids. We've been doing some, you know, evening time routines of just saying like, hey, how you guys doing? And there's lots of things they're missing, but we're giving them space to miss those things.
Right? Yeah.
But we also have to give ourselves the space, because generally speaking, the space that we give ourselves is the space that we'll also give our kids.
Mm.
And as we model giving ourselves space to feel overwhelmed, we let our kids know that it's okay to be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel that. The more of these emotions that we tell ourselves are not okay to feel, so we don't feel them, the more anxious we're going to feel.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. I hope you enjoyed the part one with Michael Preston. So be sure to join us for part two as we continue the discussion on practical steps that we can be taking in identifying and processing our emotions during this time. And so that'll do it for us today. For the Rookie Pastor Podcast, I'm Eric Mabbitt. And remember, just one step at a time.